Okay, so my name is Jean Butler, and I'm sitting on the steps, or the stairwell, of Eden Expressway with Susan Rethorst, and we are going to have a little chat about what she's up to. So, let's start with that, Susan. What are you up to at the moment?
Oh, you mean aside from teaching?
Whatever you'd like to talk about.
Well, the main thing on my mind is I'm writing a book.
You're writing a book?
I'm writing a book.
How exciting.
It's very hard. It's very, very hard. But it's, yeah, but it is exciting. It's really exciting. And,
so can we ask what it's about?
It's about dance.
What kind of
it's
dance?
It's about dance. Well, it's not about dance. It's about, really it's an extension of teaching. It's me wanting to clarify and further articulate and understand the things I've come to talk about a lot in teaching, or the things I've come to realize through doing so much teaching, and sort of relay them to, there's some sort of anecdotal, biographical, but sort of just as a starting point. And I think one of the main things that I think about, or that I'm writing about, is, should I hold this or something?
No.
No, okay.
Just in case.
Is what I think of as what I call choreographic mind or choreographic intelligence, you know, what that is and what that is, how to define that. And then where I feel like I see it and what I feel like it consists of. So that's one sort of big issue, and that's the big. And then I'm also interested in the kinds of assumptions I myself came to dance making with, and the kind of assumptions that I see students coming with, and how those differ in different cultures, and what they seem to rest on, and what they seem to apply. So it gets sort of into myths of making and functions of making from working so much in Europe. I feel like I see dance functioning differently for the makers and the community, and
absolutely,
the goals are not the same, and what's important is not the same, and it's not just like those people in Europe and us people here. I mean, obviously it's all interwoven and mixed up, but there are, you know, very different ways that dance making functions. So, that stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'd say the difficulty is probably almost what we touched on in the workshop yesterday, just finding the language.
Yeah.
I always find to explain yourself in words that somebody's going to read is very different to verbal communication.
Mm-hmm. It's
you're losing hair.
I'm telling you. My hair is gray.
Well, maybe we'll go to the next question, which is the composition class you're teaching here at Melt. And probably our listeners would be interested in what you're focusing on specifically.
Well, I think, as you know, one of the things I said in the first class is a sense of making as thinking. So making is a form of thought in itself, and it therefore doesn't need linguistic preparation, doesn't need a pre-analysis, a preconception, I think if you say, okay, making is thinking, then you're going to go through all kinds of different, you're going to do what you do with cognitive thinking, which is to stumble and react to yourself and lose your thought and find a thought, have a crystallization, and see structures and use structures and all the things that that thought does, making does.
It strikes me, the whole art of making as thinking, as something that you're falling into the unknown. You're allowing mm-hmm. yourself to be in this place of not knowing, which I think is very difficult mm-hmm. for a lot of young dancers and choreographers.
Yeah. And rightly so. It's difficult.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I've said a couple of times this week is that, I mean, I think it's normal to be visited by that sort of discomfort and nervousness, but then what's important is what you then do with it or do from it, you know, do you scramble back to something, giving you something to hold on to.
Cleaning it all up.
Cleaning it all up, making it all make sense, containing it. Or do you sort of keep close to it and follow it and trust it, which is, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems to be a very specific and, I don't know if I would say new, but you've probably come to it after many years of probably working in other ways and come to this way that now you know and think of. But my question would be more about, I guess, how do you teach composition, which is process as opposed to instructional? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, there's a conundrum right there in itself.
Right. Well, I think the first part of what you said is, in fact, I didn't come to this after years. This is
how you started.
This is how I started.
Wow.
And so, so it was when I came into contact with other ways, mm-hmm. and with a sort of. A sense of disorientation when I proposed my way, then that was what made me realize the things I was taking for granted, and so that's sort of been a lot of my journey in teaching is figuring out where the things I take for granted came from and what in fact they consist of, you know. So in doing that, that's helped me to figure out how to teach. But like, you know, in a way, I don't think of the word teach. I mean, I use it a lot. Obviously, it's handy. But
a label.
Yeah.
Verb.
But I think, you know, it's probably more accurate to say that what I'm trying to do is open the door.
Well, you talked about, which I really love the metaphor, of trying this on. Trying yeah. ideas on, yeah. seeing how they fit.
Yeah.
As opposed to instructing or
yeah.
giving
yeah.
a formula, because it's formulaic, and yeah. to a certain extent, A plus B never equals C, or
right.
I would imagine.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, over the years, I've come to talk more about the ways that I'm trying to teach. I mean, I think when I first started out, I thought what was obvious to me is obvious to everybody else. I mean, when you're young, that's what you think. Guess, I don't know. Maybe. What do I do? I think it's been a process of asking students to do something and then being confused and interested when they did something thoroughly unexpected, and then having to go back and sort through what it was that they were assuming, I was assuming they were going to do, and then trying to find some sort of proposal or exercise that would address that issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. I learned, you know, I also learned to teach the way I started making dances, you know, very much in a without a much of a plan.
Mm.
And don't know if that really answers your question.
Well, the question's just there to facilitate a discussion,
right,
I guess.
Right, but I...
But what I'm feeling from that, not having a plan, which is, again, part of this, not having a preconceived notion, necessarily, that you're aiming for, and also this idea of acting on the dance,
mm-hmm.
letting the dance act on you,
mm-hmm.
that it's a direct symbiotic relationship between what's physically happening and what you're looking at, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to things that are outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's super challenging.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine it's... I'd imagine it's practice.
Yeah, again,
in the
traditional
sense of the word.
Yes, I think it is. I think it is. I think it's also something that I took for granted, and it took me really a long time to first of all, perceive what I was doing, and then to be able to articulate what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's along with making us thinking. That's one of the basic underlying ideas is the difference between affect and intention, and to forget intention or to think, oh, thank you, intention, you got me going, but to look, once you've started, to look at the reality of what you've got, the nature of what you've got. And in fact, of course, it acts on you. But, you know, it's really interesting to me, I think I also said the first day, it's really interesting to me the things that we know, we all know, that when you look at something, it acts on you, you know, and when you look at something, as you perceive it, you inform it, you know, we all know that happens, but that knowledge is not available.
You're not conscious of it.
You're not conscious of it, and I think you have to either, you know, you have to take it for granted that's valid as a making tool, or you have to come to understand it and choose to validate it as a making tool.
And I presume this way of thinking extends out and beyond the studio. So you become more conscious of what acts on you politically, emotionally, as you're walking down the street, how you have relationships. I mean...
I think, I don't know.
No?
Well, wouldn't that be nice? I don't know. I mean, I certainly think, you know, if I look at a sort of continuum of trying to articulate and then starting to teach and then further wanting to articulate and then beginning to write, and as you say, you have to, you know, to write is very different from to talk about it, much more difficult. So, you know, in that continuum, I forgot the question.
Just that I wondered if you take this approach outside the studio.
Well, as I become more conscious, you know,
right.
I'm realizing the way I look at things and becoming curious to, you know, do how do people look at things? You know, it goes back to choreographic mind. You know, certainly people look at things in very different,
mm-hmm.
different ways. You know, they're different forms of intelligence. And, but yeah, it's you know. As you do, as you get older, you become more conscious of the layers of thought that inform an observation.
And maybe one last question that's kind of, we're touching upon everything, obviously not going into depth, but I really liked what we talked about yesterday in class, and this is again related to this idea of dancing as thinking or making as thinking, is that the dance is of the choreographer as opposed to about the choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you maybe could expand on that in relation to your interest in the purpose of the form, which is not necessarily at the service of anything except the dance itself. Did I put words into your mouth? Do I understand it?
Well, you might understand as much as I understand it. I don't, you know, this language about the maker and of the maker is something I've come to recently, and
I love it, by the way.
I like it too. But to explain it without the, you know, I can. It's one thing to explain it when I'm talking to a particular person about something they've made the difference between seeing this and seeing that. But let me see if I can. Let me see if I can. Well, I think another way of putting it, another way that I put it sometimes, that's slightly different but related, is if you set out to make a dance that is going to tell me about a singular thought, and then I and the other people in the audience will understand that singular thought, then that is about a thought. That is about a thought. And in that sense, that is about you telling me. Whereas I think if you take away singularity of interpretation, or you take away now, see, what would you be taking away?
Intention.
If you take away pre-intention, if you take away singularity, something about singularity of intention.